Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssueZTC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Time to hear from you, our listeners. We always enjoy hearing from our listeners, be it phone calls, email. One of the ways that we have for our listeners, especially for our on-demand listeners who listen to the show in a little time lag, maybe they're listening a couple days or a week or weeks behind, and they hear something they want to remark on, they hear a guest, something particularly insightful they want to respond to, maybe they have a show suggestion or a criticism, that's good too. The Issues Etc. comment line, we leave it open for you all the time, anytime you want to call and leave us a comment, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. First up, from our listeners' comments, a question about John 13:35.
Hello, gentlemen. I just wanted to first thank you for your show because I'm learning so much. But I am wondering about John 13:35. Jesus says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." A popular song even says, "They will know we are Christians by our love." How do those who don't know Christ know that? It seems that Jehovah's Witnesses with their social help and other very nice non-Christians could say the same thing, like, they'll know we're Mormons by our love. Could you explain this verse to me? I guess I am wondering, is this verse law? And I'm also wondering, will they know that we are Christians now or on the last day? I guess I'm thinking sheep's goat's judgment. Thanks again. Bye.
Okay, well, laying aside the popular song, they will know we are Christians by our love, Jesus does say, John 13:35, now set it in its context, he's telling his disciples, he's preparing them for his departure, and he's speaking about his glorification, which is his crucifixion. In John's gospel, Jesus talks about his glory, and he means his crucifixion. The Son of Man is about to be glorified. He says there in verse 31, "The Son of Man will be glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." And then he says this. This is kind of a quick goodbye, even before it's time to say goodbye. "Little children," speaking to his disciples. Now, that's significant. He's speaking to them as a elder brother, as a family member, perhaps as father, if we don't push that analogy too far. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment," here it is, "a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." That context is crucial. "Just as I have loved you." Then he adds, as I say parenthetically, "By this people will know," all people will know, "that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." You ask the question, is it law? Absolutely. Absolutely. If the emphasis here is going to be on us demonstrating our discipleship to Jesus by our love for one another, it can't be read as anything other than law. Because, I just got to ask you. If your discipleship is measured by your following of Jesus, your devotion to Jesus, whatever you want to call it, your love for Jesus, is measured by your love for your neighbor, what should I conclude about you? I can tell you what you should conclude about me. You should conclude that I am no disciple of Jesus because I do not love my neighbor. Not, and he doesn't say as yourself. That was the old commandment. The new commandment is love one another as I have loved you. Now, we come back from this break, a little bit more response to that comment on, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Stay tuned.
I'm sure the operator will be glad to put you through, so dial 0 for assistance if this all confuses you. So tell me why.
Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die, for Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest, people who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back. We're responding to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line before the break. Commenter was curious about Jesus' words from John 13:35. And in essence, Jesus saying, men will know you are my disciples in that you love one another, or if you love one another. Again, the context is important here, that Jesus is commanding the impossible. He's saying, love one another as I have loved you. And that is impossible. We will never meet that standard. So the commenter asks, is this law? The answer to that is emphatically, yes, it is law. This is something that Jesus is commanding us to do, something we cannot do. Even if we could do it, it would still be law. There is no good news in this text, as Jesus presents it here, save the one thing that prefaces all this discussion about love, as I have loved you. Now, how does he love us? That's the big question. He loves us by laying down his life. He loves us by, on the basis of that sacrifice, forgiving our sins. He loves us by showing us mercy when we were his enemies. So, what does it mean that Jesus commands us to love one another? He is commanding that we do the same, forgive, show mercy, and lay down our lives for one another. Can we do this as he has done it? Well, if you could, you wouldn't need him to have done it for you, do you? The worst thing we could do is present this as a pep talk for the church, or as it has been in ecumenical circles, turned into, well, people will know that we're disciples in that we love one another, which means we should tolerate anything and everything. But what Jesus is presenting here is a commandment. He even calls it a commandment. And no matter how you twist it around, you can't keep a commandment from being a law when it strikes at sinners like you and me. Our only comfort here? That Jesus has loved us the way he loved us, not that we love one another, however we love one another. Speaking of the Issues Etc. comment line, we want to hear from you your Issues Etc. story. By an Issues Etc. story, I mean something like, what's your favorite Issues Etc. show and why? How has God's Word through Issues Etc. impacted your life or the life of someone around you? Just heard from someone on Facebook recently. They said Issues Etc. was instrumental in bringing them to a Lutheran church. Someone else commented that Issues Etc. was instrumental in bringing them back to the Lutheran, the Sound Lutheran Confession. That's an Issues Etc. story. Well, we want to hear it from you. That means we want to hear it on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Call anytime before Thursday, April the 7th, with your Issues Etc. story, 618-223-8384.
This is Paul in Milwaukee calling about the Thursday roundtable on the millennium. It was pointed out that in Revelation 26, the passage does not indicate that Christ's reign will be on earth. The on earth has been added by others. Consider this in connection with the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, who said, according to Scripture, that Christ will reign on the throne of David. The throne of David is commonly thought about as being in Jerusalem, and the partisans of the millennium then might add, well, Jerusalem is on earth. What would be the Orthodox Christian response, again, based on the Scriptures, to this comparison? Thanks for listening.
Well, the promise that Jesus would sit on the throne of his father David, which is one that's actually made to David himself and then repeated again throughout history until Christ fulfills it, the promise there does have an element of place to it. Let's not discount that the throne of David was Jerusalem, that the throne of David was that place where God had promised David he would set up his throne forever, that God would set up establish David's throne. Remember, David wants to build God a house, and God says, you're not going to build me a house, your son will, but you're not going to build me a house. I will build your house for you. And then he gives that promise of a kingdom of David that would eventually be occupied by someone whose kingdom would have no end. There is an element of place there. The only question is, and there's no doubt about it, it's got to be Jerusalem, right? So how does Jesus reign on David's throne? Where's David's throne in Jerusalem? Well, is it in the king's palace where that imposter, that pretender to royalty, Herod, was sitting? No. You know, the kingdom goes with the king. It travels with the king. The king doesn't sit on the throne to be king. He sits on the throne because he is king. So where is Jesus enthroned? Well, look, where is he wearing a crown? Where is he hailed as king of the Jews? Right there, in writing, in the jeering catcalls of his crucifiers at the cross. There's no mistake about it. All four gospel writers want us to understand that Jesus is being enthroned on the King of David when he is being crucified on the cross. He's got the crown. He's got the edict over his head. He's worn the purple. He has the staff. He's gone in procession to be enthroned as the Savior of the world at the cross. So that's where Jesus reigns. That's where Jesus begins his Davidic reign. That's where his reign will always be. Let's hear from one final listener from the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a comment about last week's conversation on, yes, again, pole dancing for Jesus.
Hi, Pastor Tom. This is Barry calling from Central Pennsylvania. Hey, I really enjoyed your program on pole dancing for Jesus. I do have to say that I got quite a kick out of the responses. They sounded to me, and forgive me for saying so, but many, many of them seem to be rather pietistic or legalistic or both. You know, there's a Lutheran concept of vocation, what we're going to do or what would we do. We should do for God. I'm not suggesting anybody go out and pole dance, but if a person's going to pole dance and they have a choice between pole dancing for exciting the lust in a man's heart or pole dancing as a Christian woman for Jesus, and I certainly would much prefer them to dance as a Christian. And I would have to remind many of the callers that they seem to be mostly men who were so concerned about stirring lust feeling, that these are women going with women to a private setting where no men are allowed. There's no indication in any of the news stories that I've seen that they are dancing naked or immodestly. It is women with women dancing because they wish to. That doesn't strike me as inappropriate either. As far as the CCM, Christian music, if you just need some noise to fill in the gaps in between church, and I don't see any harm in it. I'm not one of the people who suggests using it during church. I'm not suggesting substituting it for hymns. But if a person wants to take non-specifically religious time, something like pole dancing or driving a car or cleaning the house and listening to that kind of music, unless it's theologically unsound, some of it. But generally, I don't see a problem with it. It's generally better than secular music. So I don't see any harm in pole dancing for Jesus. Now, somebody will come up with the idea of liturgical pole dancing. In fact, I was in an LCMS church where we invited Baptist liturgical dancers in. I didn't approve of it. I let the pastor know I didn't approve of it, but they didn't make that big a deal of it. But I think we have to keep in mind that people can act as Christians in their vocation. Thank you.
Well, okay, let's take up the issue of vocation, if we could. Just to correct Barry here, vocation, the Lutheran teaching of vocation is not that we do things for God. That's not what vocation is. Vocation is doing things for the neighbor. It is, God, we don't need to do anything for God. Vocation calls us in service of our neighbor. Now, just do the math for me. How are you going to pole dance for your neighbor? All right, whether they're a woman or not. He talked about it not being immodesty. You can go and see for yourself how immodest it is. There's a Facebook fan page for the fitness club where they do this best shape of your life. And the pictures there say it all. I had difficulty finding one even suitable for the website. His basic argument is, well, it's better than pole dancing for money, or it's better than pole dancing to feed the lust of men. Well, it may, in fact, be better than that, but that's hardly an argument in favor of pole dancing for Jesus. And the same goes for the argument for contemporary Christian music. Well, it's better than rock and roll. I think that's the reason a lot of people get sucked in to contemporary Christian music. Well, yes, it is perhaps better than rock and roll in some sense, but I don't know. Would I rather have someone listening to rock and roll that they know has nothing to do with God? Or would I rather have them listening to something that they think is telling them the truth about God when in fact it isn't, like so much of contemporary Christian music does, which is more dangerous? Something that you think is sacred and revealing things about God to you but isn't, or something you know full well has nothing to do with God whatsoever? Which is more dangerous? Honest hedonism or fake Christianity that may deceive people, even rob them of saving faith? So the argument it's better than really doesn't seem to hold a lot of water. If you want to do something for Jesus and really understand our Christian vocation, go find your neighbor and do something for him. Jesus says, if you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. He'll count that as something for him when done in faith for the neighbor, it's being done. Well, Issues Etc. 24 Bulletin is there for you and your congregation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. If your pastor missed the deadline to put it in the bulletin, ask him to print it off and hand it out on Sunday. issuesetc.org. Click support. Get the Issues Etc. 24 Bulletin. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.